At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Minority rights groups today told federal judges that Texas needs new election maps for 2018. A three-judge federal panel met in San Antonio. The judges didn't decide next steps, but it appears a trial is likely this summer over the state's voting maps for congressional and state house districts. The hearing follows recent federal rulings that the maps, as well as the state's strict voter ID law, discriminated against minorities. High school football in North Texas is producing talent that can make it to the NFL. Tonight, a North Texas player will likely be the number one pick by the Cleveland Browns in the NFL draft, which starts in about half an hour. Early reports say the Browns will choose Miles Garrett, a graduate of Arlington Martin High. As KERA's Gus Contreras reports, Garrett is considered the best defensive player in this year's draft.
When the Texas A&M Swagcopter lands at your high school football stadium on a recruiting trip, it's a pretty big deal. Like it did during an Arlington Martin game in 2013.
And in comes this helicopter. This thing looks like it should have some missiles attached to it. And it's maroon and white and got a big Aggie sign on the side.
That's Arlington Martin coach Bob Wager.
Came in at about a 45-degree angle, buzzed the stadium, the place erupted, and it seemed like simultaneously, but maybe as it was just starting to throttle down and land, Miles broke through, blocked a punt, picked it up, and ran it back into the end zone, almost as if to say, you know, the helicopter's pretty neat, but watch this.
Wager can rattle off stories about Garrett on and off the field, like his affinity for 70s music, dinosaurs, and poetry. Or when Garrett recently showed up to a kids' event in Arlington.
He's never forgotten where he came from. And when Miles comes home, around here, he's just Miles. He just blends right in. Not, you know, I'm a first-round draft pick, but I'm Miles from down the street. And it's been that way since the day I met him.
In high school, Garrett was considered the number two ranked player in America. Then he only got better as a defensive end in college at Texas A&M. NFL experts and scouts say his ability to sack the quarterback is unmatched. Kevin Sherrington's a columnist with the Dallas Morning News.
For a defensive end as quick and as fast and as powerful as he is, he doesn't have any minuses physically. And then when you throw in the fact that he's such a hard worker, a great kid, very smart, and so he's just a no-brainer to me.
Garrett joins a select club in North Texas. Highland Park's Matthew Stafford was a number one pick in 2009. Arlington High's Luke Jokel was drafted number two in 2013. Garrett has a few detractors, though. Some say he doesn't give his full effort on every play. Sherrington disagrees. He says it's all up to Cleveland.
Of course, the Browns could always screw this up, which they usually do.
Cleveland has had a losing record for years and a reputation for picking the wrong player in the NFL draft. But maybe Garrett's the one who helps turn around the lowly Browns. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
Stefan Pastis is the mind behind the Pearls Before Swine comic strip. Featuring a cynical rat and a sweet-natured pig, the comic appears in more than 750 newspapers across the country. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with the cartoonist about what it takes to create humor on demand.
I put on really loud music on headphones, like the ones I'm wearing now. I light incense. I turn off almost all the lights, so it's really dark. Then, and here's how strangely OCD I am, there's a little Kleenex box in the corner of the table, and if the Kleenex is sticking up and out of the box, the white of the Kleenex throws everything off. So it has to be tucked in the box. That got to be tucked in the box. And then I write with the music, the incense, the darkness, and it all just sort of flows. It's got to be one of the stranger rituals. But I have a theory on the music. The theory on the music is when you write funny, you don't want to think through funny. So what the music does is it distracts the part of my brain that would logically break down what I'm doing. So for example, if I have to write an email in the middle of that, the headphones come off without even thinking about it because I can't focus. But every Pearl strip I've ever written has been to that loud music. So I'm trying to shift it to that instinctual part of your brain where the humor comes, just flows, and almost appears. You're almost a conduit for it. And I've never found a way to do it without that loud music.
Stefan Pastis speaks tonight in about 30 minutes at the Dallas Morning News. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Lydia Umloff is a violinist with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. She knows some people are intimidated by classical music, and she's on a mission to change that. Each week in Art and Seek series Artist Spotlight, we follow the personal journey of a North Texas creative. Today, reporter Hadi Mwangi heads to the bar to learn what she's serving up.
It's a Wednesday night at Black Swan Saloon in Deep Ellum. The place is packed with 20 and 30-somethings, and about two dozen more are lined up outside.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Hi guys, welcome to Black Swan and Mozart, and Mozart in the bar. We're gonna play some Brahms for you.
That's Lydia Umlauf. She's a violinist with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, and she organized this performance with a few friends from the DSO.
I think that classical music can be very serious and can be very sobering and very beautiful, and I think a lot of times it's too serious.
Umloff is 25. She joined the DSO about 2.5 years ago, but she's only just started organizing shows like this one at Black Swan, and it's quite the switch from performing at the Meyerson Symphony Center.
I love that in this setting, we can just relax and we can play beautiful music and play it well. We can have fun with each other and we can just kind of let loose.
Performing in a chamber group gives Umloff freedom to improvise. That's not always the case with orchestral performances.
Sometimes it can be a little bit frustrating because you really have no power over the interpretation of the music. It's really up to the conductor.
Though following a conductor and performing with a full orchestra is special too.
It's an amazing thing when you're playing a big masterpiece and you all feel movement with each other, like in tandem. That's an amazing moment. Those moments don't happen super often, but often enough that you're sitting there thinking, wow.
A lot of people may miss that moment because they fear classical music. Umloff says misconceptions about the players don't help either.
We get on stage and we play the concert and then we get off stage and we leave. And we don't really interact with the audience. So they see us maybe in a way as removed, separated, and inaccessible.
Before Umloff started playing in bars, she was on a traditional path for a concert musician. She started playing violin at age 5. But music wasn't her only passion.
She had a really diverse set of interests.
That's Alexander Carr. He's the DSO's concertmaster and a critically acclaimed violinist. He was Umloff's instructor at Indiana University.
She was very curious about everything, not even just music, but outside of music. So it was sort of interesting to teach somebody who was just so curious about life in general.
Most music students are hyper-focused on their instruments, and Umloff was too. But she cared about a lot of other things as well, like photography or audience engagement. That made her different.
With Lydia, it was much more about dialogue, considering the fact that she was so well-versed in so many different things. We could actually speak about different subjects on a pretty high level.
That's why he's not surprised that Umloff decided to branch out. In fact, he joined the group at Black Swan.
In the concert hall, you're truly playing out to 2,500 people. In a bar setting, you're really playing for, you know, 50, 75 people that are right in front of you and sort of right in your face, and you can feel their breath. So it's a really different experience.
Even more important, these concerts truly reach a younger audience than the DSO usually attracts. Carr says that's crucial for the future of the art form. And Umloff has other ideas. She'd like to start a blog where people can find suggestions for listening and information about music that she plays at shows like Mozart in the Bar.
I just wanted to let people know that classical music isn't just for the stuffy concert hall and you don't have to get all dressed up.
Umloff says it's an accessible art form that speaks to the human spirit. It's easy to love. You just have to hear it first. Hadi Mwangi, KERA News.
Head to artandseek.org to check out photos and a Q&A with Lydia Umloff. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low around 66 later on. Tomorrow should be partly sunny with a high near 87. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, slight chance of showers, low around 73. It's currently 76 degrees in Dallas, 77 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.